for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Pleb Underground, not underwater. They silence the lambs that are led to the slaughter. Some have Bitcoin, but just retweet like sheep. Think for yourself, got to take that faith leap. Zoom out. What's your time frame? 24 karat, 24K on the time frame. Block the cap, block height is the time frame. Behavior like that, might with sublime game. If you're self-employed, you have time on your hands. Kanye, watch Time Chain Cal, the clock with no hands. Price recently pumping. Pop Bollinger Bands got you jumping. Singapore, Marina Bay Sands. Home run, bumping shoulders, renting lands. Fuck owning real estate, no one understands. You never truly own Bitcoin, you merely look after it. For the next generation, one day you'll master it. Bitcoin devs funds to the brink, and you go, yeah, like whatevs. Someone's you could link, like Odell, who drops more on the decentralized mailer. We call them poor. Fuck you, money sailor. You take a swing, a miss and a divot, feel right in the moment, lever up and pivot right there and now. You feel like a fool, oi mañana, and go back to school, boy. Cue in the mail, level up or you'll fold, scarred. Fuck you and you'll fail, that's one cold card. Back in the gym, can't hit the bar and imbibe, I say thanks to him, bitch can't kill my vibe. Never overweight NFTs, no, I'm not Lamar. Sit down, bitch, be humble, and you will go far. All Bitcoin is a king's, but none of them royalty. Don't trust verify, and you don't need loyalty. Bit by bit, we keep stacking the arc. Now your future lit, you can't go back in the dark. Didn't come for the fight, the glam era exaction. Not dumb, shoot the lights, camera, action.
Straight fire, Walton. Guys, that's right. Welcome back to the Pleb Underground. Joining us today, fellow Bitcoiner, world-class movie director, Alex Waltz. Alex, thank you very much for joining us on the Pleb Underground. Was that a proper intro or
do I mean, should I done more? I don't know. I think I saw better introductions at, you know, at a Walmart or something when they announced like someone has a car, their car are going to be towed. But we can't do that.
For those of you who don't know Alex, Alex is a absolute fantastic Bitcoiner who some people would say is a bit contrarian. And I'll tell you this, he is not going to let either of us get away with anything today. So guys, get ready, because this episode's probably going to be fire. Anyways, let's move on.
Well, thanks for the introduction, and thanks for having me on the Pleb Underground.
Welcome.
It was a good introduction.
Okay, fine. So I get the pity. Good. All right. I see how this is going. Guys, we are going to move it on over to the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers, of course, sourced from Time Chain Calendar and Time Chain Stats, but brought to you by BTC Prague. BTC Prague is the largest and oldest Bitcoin-only conference in the world. In 2024, they're going to have over 10,000 attendees, over 100 speakers, Michael Saylor, Adam Back, all the big names, as they say, but it really is a very high-signal event. No shit coins allowed, no shit coin sponsors, none of that shit. This really is the only and the biggest and the longest running giant Bitcoin conference in the world. And it's in Prague. It's in June. You get 10% off your tickets if you use the code PLEB when buying them. And you get a further 5% off if you pay in Bitcoin. So go over to btcprague.com and get your tickets today, guys.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 835. The Bitcoin fiat exchange. What happened? What happened since we started recording? 168,172, 173. Okay, so it's moving quick today. Anyways, total public lightning capacity, 4,633 blocks to the halvening. What are we looking at here? 1,104 fastest fee, 77 sats per V-byte, a little bit down from earlier this morning. And the Moscow time, 14:65. Boom. The numbers. Pretty uneventful.
Block height starting with 8.3. This is episode 8.3. Next week, block height will be starting with an 8.4, and it'll be episode 8.4.
That's something, right? That means some shit right there.
But all right, talking of numbers though, apparently the mempool fees went a bit crazy again, right? I looked earlier, I was like, wait, what's going on? There's like, it's a three-figure mempool fees again.
Yeah, but they, so this morning, right? This morning it was like 120, something like that. Maybe 170, I think I saw max. 170 sats per V-byte. Now all of a sudden we're down to 77, so.
And every time I see it, I go, wait, what's going on? Fucking shitcoiners, man. Because I'm pretty sure that's what it is, right? Like the
BRC with the,
I don't know. It's probably some sort of shitcoin bullshit. Like in of course they want these rare sats, right? And I imagine sats in the first block of an epoch are going to be thought of as very, very rare sats. But do sats even exist? I don't know. I think we'll, do Satoshis even exist? I think we'll maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the show.
That's right. All right, Alex, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, like, look, you are pretty enmeshed in the, you know, the Bitcoin ecosystem. What are your thoughts on the fees? Like these fee spikes? I mean, these, you know, ordinals, inscriptions, runes, all this stuff, like, is this here to stay? Is it just noise? Do you see it in the same way that Counterparty, you know, once upon a time, like, do you see it as kind of like that? What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I just think it's odd that people complain about fees being high. I mean, really, the most important thing that guarantees the security and correct functioning of Bitcoin and really guarantees that we're going to have, you know, censorship resistance properties and we can actually solve the double spending problem in a business default tolerant way is the fact that we have high fees. So if you don't have high fees, it's not going to work. So I just don't see why anyone, I saw you guys are complaining about fees. I don't see why you would complain. For me, it's kind of like you have a restaurant and there are people coming and eating in your restaurant. And maybe they don't use cutlery or something, but they're eating in your restaurant. And if they don't want to eat in your restaurant is going to close down and you're going to, I don't know, end up on the street. So I think it's odd to complain about fees, not just from a philosophical point of view, just strictly from a functioning point of view. So that's my take on the fees. What do I think about
it? It's good for the restaurant, but if you want a table and, you know, it's full of people eating with their hands, you can't get a table, right?
No, you, again, like that's a very correct thing to say, continuing the analogy, but I'm just trying to say that the way I would describe the situation to stay consistent on the metaphor is that there's no guarantee that the restaurant is going to be here 10 years from now if you don't have customers. It's crucial you have customers. So to be precise, like I think we need full blocks. If you don't have full blocks, then that means Bitcoin is not being used and we may have a problem at some point, you know? So that's my take on precisely the fee thing. I think good high fees are good. I don't care where it comes from. And also, like, the thing is, like, I don't think you should be you shouldn't be allowed. I don't think it's consistent to care about where the fees come from, because the whole point of Bitcoin is censorship. Well, one big point of it is censorship resistance, right? Which really means you do not get to have any criterion on what goes into the blocks besides the whatever the miner decides. So then if you think it's okay for people to, like, you know, pay for being political distance or something, then there's no way you can differentiate on chain between that and, let's say, you know, shitcoins or whatever you want to call them. So then you either allow everything or you allow nothing. That's just how it is. It's not like philosophical. It's not like a debate. It's plain and simple. You can't differentiate between the data. So that's my take on it.
I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate
it. I like that take.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if you're either pro-censorship or you're against it, right? But,
you want to disagree on something?
I'm looking for something to disagree with it. I'm like, but fuck, it's a good take. I mean, what do you want?
Every time fees spike, I just come back to the scaling ideas that we, you know, we need ways to better batch transactions. Yeah.
Necessity is the mother of invention. So, I mean, look, if we have these higher fees, this is going to encourage people, I believe, right, to quote unquote innovate and come up with other ways of using Bitcoin more efficiently, but obviously without creating a whole bunch of activity for activity's sake, right? Like these fake L2s and their wrapped Bitcoins and their whatever, their pegs. Anyways, okay,
So if I could interrupt, you said activity for activity's sake, but like, I just feel that the way Bitcoin functions, all activity is for activity's sake. That's what I'm trying to say. Is like, there's no way you can actually differentiate at a protocol level. That's what I'm trying to say.
True. It's true.
Just activity, you know? So, and again, it's not, yes, sorry, go on.
I was thinking that the way that you're looking at it is that either you're pro free speech or you're against free speech. If you want to be able to have your own free speech in the future, then you can't be against free speech, because eventually it's your speech that no longer is free.
It's exactly that, but I guess you could even call it the freedom of transaction, if you may, or something like that, right? You mm-hmm. either for that or not. And I just feel like that's the only value, that's the most interesting value proposition of Bitcoin. So, you know, it's and again, it's like, I mean, in 2013, you know, like the reason Bitcoin worked well is because people were buying heroin online. All right. There's this famous old Bitcoin talk post. It's called the heroin store. People should read this if they don't know it. People were happy that Bitcoin was used for that. And now what? I think it's kind of weird to get mad that people are using it for some things which are more sane than heroin, in my opinion. I just don't see how anyone would not have a problem with heroin.
I just want to differentiate something, right? When you're going to the heroin store, you're not under the impression that the heroin is some store of value into the future that, you know, you can then give to somebody else. You know exactly what you're purchasing. You're going to that store and you know what you're buying. Whereas, unfortunately, and again, this is not a Bitcoin problem. This is a human problem. This is more of a social thing. You know, people are grifting others, which it's the free market. They're entitled to do so, right? But they can do that. And essentially they frame, you know, things such as ordinals, runes, stamps, all of these things as possible stores of value into the future that carry with it Bitcoin's qualities, which I believe is incorrect. So it's like, yes, you have absolute, you know, you have every right to the free speech to do that shit. And we have every right to call you out on it. But when it comes to when it comes to illicit substances, there's no mirage. Like, to me, it's cut and dry. I don't know. Maybe I'm just creating this differentiation to be difficult.
I think it's the same thing. I think both situations are escapism. I think, like, people are, I don't know. That's how I see it. Like, I don't know. I think the escapism in shit coins is a symptom of the fiat world. I think the escapism of drugs is a symptom. Not a symptom of the fiat world. It's a coping mechanism to deal with the fiat world. Shall we say, or not such a good coping mechanism, maybe?
Yeah, well, I guess Phil said it best, is like it's a social problem, and that's what I'm trying to say. Is like there's a differentiation. That's exactly what my point is. Like, a social problem is not a Bitcoin problem, right? And it's important to not introduce social problems in the Bitcoin context, because the whole point of Bitcoin is to eliminate any sort of social context. So I'm agreeing with that. What I think is kind of like, you were saying about the grifting. It's like, well, see, this is the problem right now, because you think those people are grifting. I think there are a lot of people who are maybe mainstream Bitcoin people. I think they're grifting. And I think their grift is more dishonest and more harmful than the people with the runes. And I would actually make the argument, even though I don't follow these things that much, I don't even know actually what a rune is, so I shouldn't say that. Maybe you ask me what it is and I can't explain it. But at least what
don't worry. Thing, it's just trash.
My perception is that I think
a rune is like a Scandinavian letter form from many hundreds of years ago that itself has been affinity scammed, like many shit.
Okay, I didn't do that. I don't know if you're trolling me right now. But what I'm trying to say is that I think the people with I could make an argument that people who use ordinals are more aware of what they're getting into than the people who are buying heroin. Honestly, I think that's more, I don't know. But the point is that, see, we can't agree on these things. We can't agree who the grifters are. And that's exactly the point. We should not have that. That's not a Bitcoin conversation. That's a human conversation. So I think grifters should use Bitcoin. I think anyone should use Bitcoin. Not everyone. Anyone who wants to use it should be allowed to use it, you know? And that's totally. Just that. I think I just can't find an argument for the other side of not using this. I cannot steelman it for the sake, not even if I want to, you know, be philosophically generous or something, you know?
Guys, let us know what you think, right? Put it in the comments. Let us know what you think. This wraps up the numbers, and we're going to move it on over to the Fireside Chat. The Fireside Chat is brought to you by BTC Pins. Check them out at btcpins.com. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off. Awesome pins. I always show my collection. That's right. I love my pins. I'm such a sucker for the tchotchkes. Anyways, guys, 5% off. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND at btcpins.com. Welcome back, everyone. It's the Fireside Chat. Very special guest. I'd say he's a friend to the show, even though he hasn't been on the show. This is his first time being on the show. But I do have to give some background because Alex and I have, or Raw Avocado, as some people may know him. We've known each other for quite a while. And we originally met, I believe, during the virus, which shall not be named. Oh, no, we can name it again. It's fine. COVID. Yes. All right. So we met in like some chat room during COVID. And Alex is, to me anyways, one of those people who has zero filter. And I appreciate that because at the same time as it can be incredibly informative, it can also be incredibly controversial. And you really don't expect him to say these things. It's not necessarily him. You just don't expect another person to openly call your bullshit right on the spot. And Alex is one of those guys. So some people in the Bitcoin space find him controversial. I personally enjoy it. Okay. I think if people aren't challenging your ideas and pissing you off, then I just don't think we're growing and learning. So there you go. That's my big intro for Alex joining us on the show. And he's like I said at the beginning in the introduction, he is the the world-class movie director. He's going to talk to us about the movie that he's working on. But before he does, we're gonna dive into some of Alex's controversy and what goes on. Thank you so much,
Phil. I find it funny that you say that he has no filter because, conversely, like Twitter does. And I actually had him muted until a month ago when I met him in person. And then realized, yeah, we're kind of similar. And like, you know, he should come on the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words, Phil. Yeah, I also had you muted. I think that was a very funny thing because I also had you muted. I think like 80% of the people that I follow are muted. So if I don't follow
80%, you, I have a handful of people that I follow that are muted. I feel like that's kind of rare. Like,
no, I mean, for me, it's very simple. You say one stupid thing once, I'm going to be annoyed. The second time, is that it? Do you see that animation?
Yeah, that's weird.
Who did that?
What the fuck happened here?
What happened? Does it do
oh,
that?
Oh, it's because I have a Mac. Oh, look, it's because I have
crazy.
A Mac.
I didn't realize that happened.
It would keep this in. Anyway.
Dude.
It's very simple. I see you want to say something stupid. I get annoyed. The second time you're getting muted. The third time you're getting blocked. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense for me to, like, you know, have people in my periphery that are like, you know, that annoy me. It just makes sense, you know? So yeah, that's my policy. Anyway.
So hold on a second. I'm not blocked yet. And I know that I say tons of stupid shit. So that means
you're
that
not
means
muted.
I'm still
you're not muted.
Muted.
And you're
I'm
not
muted.
You're
you
not
know
muted.
What? I actually appreciate that. Because I really do say a lot of stupid shit and I appreciate that. Thank you. Oh God. Anyways. Okay. So why did I say that Alex is controversial? So Alex likes to put out tidbits of Bitcoin information. Okay. And they're very in depth, right? Like, it's not just like these little, like, boom, this fun fact about Bitcoin. It is, no, he pulls out this fun fact about Bitcoin and then he essentially brings out all of these very detailed, for the most part, unknown, nuanced, I don't know if they're takes, but, you know, nuanced, I guess we'll say, facts about these things. And,
it almost sounds like you're saying that he uses threads for like their intended purposes rather
yeah.
than just like for engagement farming.
Yeah.
It's actually for writing longer form.
Oh, thank you very much if you think that.
Concepts and the problem with that
you know,
is
really fleshing things out rather than just being some like wanky macro bro, like, you know, trying to pump your follower number.
Exactly. And as a result, he tends to piss people off. So not everybody, but he does tend to upset people. So Alex, why is it that you think that some of these people find, you know, what you put out sometimes controversial?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know how to like think why people get mad. I can't answer for other people's perspective, but I can answer from my perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, my perspective is like, I can tell you why I write those things. I don't know why people react to them like this. That's their problem. Ask them. But as far as my perspective, it's kind of like, you know what the thing is, like, I just feel like I just really love Bitcoin. I really do. I really do love it with all my heart. And I feel like if you really love something, you're going to end up, like, if you love it for a long time and you really, really care about it, you don't love it for the obvious things. You love it for the non-obvious and counterintuitive things. And I just am at a point with Bitcoin that I just cannot deal with the same things that everyone else talks about. For me to like care about it even more, I need to find things that turn my world upside down. That's what I'm looking for. So that's what I like. That's what I, if you know me real life, that's what I talk about every day. That's how I relate to Bitcoin. I don't talk about like, you know, like, I don't know, hodling or stuff like that. I moved away from that. So that's why I talk about these things, because it's what piques my interest, you know? It has to be something that I never heard of before. So,
and that's what's left
after the years.
Friend of the show, Eastside Tony, was talking in some group chat this week, saying how the like Bitcoin Twitter's stagnated. There's a lot of like Bitcoiners that have been around for a while that have kind of quit on learning. They're not furthering their knowledge about Bitcoin. They're sitting around shitposting. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that. But I think you should be trying to learn more about Bitcoin, and it seems like you're one of few people that continuously try to do that. What drives you to kind of continuously further your knowledge on Bitcoin?
I mean, again, it's just like I don't know. It's just like when I go to sleep thinking about this, I wake up thinking about it. This is what I do. And Bitcoin is probably one of the very few things in my life that the more obsessed I became with it, the more hard I learned, the more I get from it. Usually, it's not the case with things in life, especially with people. The more you try to get to someone, it always works out the other way around. You get less and less. But with Bitcoin, it always was like that. And I just love it. I can't stop thinking about this. You know, I want to know more. I can't get enough of it. It's on my mind 24/7. Everything in my life is secondary to Bitcoin. And that's
what you're saying
for the last 10 years.
It sounds like what you're saying is Bitcoin is the perfect girlfriend for you.
I want to say that. I mean, listen, try getting your dick sucked by Bitcoin. You know what I'm trying to say? You get fucked in
Don't
the
give
ass
anybody
by
any
Bitcoin.
Ideas. Don't give anybody any ideas. Okay.
Good luck.
Don't forget.
You get fucked in the ass by Bitcoin, but I want to say you can get your dick sucked by Bitcoin. So I don't know about that.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot. What is one thing that you can share right now with the viewers that they may not know about Bitcoin? Something very intricate just learned. I know you have tons of stuff. You got to pick one.
Depends how obscure you want. Do you want to talk cryptography? We can do cryptography. Like, first of all, you know, this is kind of
But I want to know like the coolest, like the thing that you think is the coolest that you learn. Cause look, you learn all these different things and even as humans, right, we categorize them. It's like, even though I learned this thing and it's interesting, I learned this other thing, which fascinates me more, you know, like even though both of them are equally maybe as fascinating in terms of functionality or, you know, quality wise, but something that you personally, that you were like super excited to learn about.
Okay, here's the thing, which I may even like consider making a movie about at some point. So so everyone knows that Bitcoin, and mostly like in the recent years, I've just been focusing more on cryptography stuff. So everyone knows that Bitcoin uses this elliptic curve to generate the Bitcoin, the private and the public keys, which means there's some weird math. There's a mathematical formula. It's as simple as that. It's a mathematical formula which you use to derive your public a relationship between your private key and your public key. So much so that if you use your public key for things like receiving money and signing and stuff like that, it can't go bad. Now, this formula is very important because most of the security on Bitcoin, it's based on this. And so, and there's like a few well-known formulas that people spend time and, you know, use mathematical arguments to come up with them. And they've been used for a lot of years. But Satoshi picked a very odd one, all right? And again, just from this point, is like he picked this weird fucking formula out of this all known available formula list. And no one knows why he did. People speculated on it, but you just can't help to think why that's weird. People think it's because of paranoia and stuff like that. And and now the thing is, like, we don't know how these parameters were made up, but you can speculate on some of them. And there's the, like, some of them you can speculate, like, it's kind of mathematically obvious and it kind of makes sense for efficiency's sake. And it just kind of feels like the reasonable thing to do. But then there's this specific point, because this is a curve, which is called the G point. And no one knows how this was picked. But from what I understand, I hope I'm not wrong, mathematically speaking, can pick any of the points to do this would have the same properties as the G point. But the one we use in Bitcoin how this one was picked. I found out recently there's this old thread on Bitcoin Talk from 2013. And a lot, some people on the thread ended up finding the, ended up writing to the, to this entity that like comes up with its curves. And then there, they ended up finding some metadata in the PDF file. And then they found out there that there's this guy who hashed his name, and that's how we got a G-point. Which probably, at this point, I'm sure I lost everyone else. But that's what I find it's interesting. I even wrote a small thread about this, like, how, a year ago or something like that. But that's the kind of stuff where I'm, like, at right now. And that's what, like, I just feel like, wow, that's fucking amazing. That's fucking crazy that this whole thing, that this fucking fine, that, like we may have, the world's economy being stay on this Bitcoin thing. And then there's this thing that are so fucking important and almost no one knows about. And then we don't even know how we choose these things. And then there's some people who did a detective work and found out that this is what this whole thing is relying on. That's fucking amazing to me. I think that's fucking crazy. It's like, wow, can you fucking believe that's reality? So that's what. It's probably a bad answer because it's long.
No, anyway. It's not. Are you kidding me? It's absolutely fantastic. I'm pretty sure that that's the thread that we probably on Pleb Underground, we probably posted that thread and then we got shit. Who knows why? I don't know why, but we probably did. Okay.
I think what there's this prominent Romanian Bitcoiner called Vlad, and he just ruins it for everyone else. Like, so if you have any links to Romania, they're just like, oh, you're just another Vlad, probably.
What's wrong with Vlad? What is he doing wrong?
What's wrong with Vlad? What's right with Vlad, there, guys? But like, let's leave that for now. What I want to talk about just briefly.
We covered that last week.
The first thing that I saw you do that was a bit different that I really liked, because I'm kind of a math guy, not a computer science guy, was your use of radioactivity to actually generate random numbers. Like you took apart, I think, a smoke detector, right, which has an alpha emitter in it. And the radioactive decay is random, and so you don't get a constant rate of emission, and so you can use that real randomness to generate real random numbers. Do you believe that? I've had a few conversations recently where people have argued you can now generate real random numbers with computers rather than and with signing devices, I presume, rather than just pseudo random numbers. Can you talk a little bit about this? Is this true?
Yes, but there are caveats to this. So the thing is, like, I think the most important questions you can ask about reality, it's not what is life about, what is the meaning of life and whatever. That's a meaningless question because only you can answer that question personally. I think the most important question you can ask about reality is, like, is the universe deterministic or not? That's really the thing you can't figure out, And it's even more fucking crazy about it because this is not only a philosophical important question, but it's an important question in cryptography. Because the reason why your private key is private, it sounds stupid and crazy, but this is the only reason why someone cannot guess your private key is because it's random. And you'd be thinking, like, well, this probably sounds stupid or something. No, if you have a big enough number and it's random, then it's hard for someone to guess. So your life savings are based on the fact that you have good entropy. And not only your life saving, all the infrastructure that you have in the world that uses computer things is based on this simple fact. So now as soon as you realize, it's like, how the fuck are we going to get some random things? And now when you realize, it's like, it's hard to have real things that are random. Like a coin toss. It's hard to predict. I'll give you that. It's not technically random when you think about it. Like if you would have like a camera, let's say I flip a coin right now. If you would stop down the camera, even in this recording right now, you could see and you could tell what happened there. So it's like, yeah, but that's kind of absurd. It's like, yeah, but it's money. It's a lot of money. So you have to be absurd about it. So then you go on and you think about, like, all right, then what is the thing that is actually random? And you start having this crisis, realizing, well, maybe nothing is random. And then if you're a physicist and you look at things like really, really, really in depth, the only thing that we so far know as a human species that it's completely random, that we cannot predict, like we zoomed into the particle level, is radioactive decay. it's crazy, but it's like things that are, and almost everything is radioactive. Like, it's like you have things in the universe that all of a sudden, like a part of them just goes away, right? That's what radiation is. Of course, some of them are more radioactive than others, but even bananas are radioactive. Like, if you had measured them.
Brazil nuts are apparently the most radioactive food.
Well, that I didn't know. Well, for example, Brazil nuts, right? So then you realize that there's this radioactive.
The reason bananas are is because they have potassium. Like, basically, most elements have some sort of radioactive isotope, just in some quantity. And certainly, once you get to sufficiently large atoms, sufficiently large nuclei, they're all unstable. Like, essentially, you have competing. I mean, we're going to go on a slight physics tangent here, but you have competing forces within the nucleus, right? You have two forces. You have electrostatic repulsion between the protons, but you also have attraction due to the strong force between all nucleons. That includes protons and neutrons. If you don't have enough neutrons or you have too many neutrons, essentially the spacing of the repulsion between the protons is wrong, and you end up with the nucleus fragmenting, or a proton turning into a neutron, or a neutron turning into a proton, and something being emitted, etc. But this is essentially the basis of radioactivity: is that these competing forces within the nucleus.
Exactly. Well, I have to say that just went over my head. I'm not that well versed in physics, but that sounded about right. But the idea is that you can zoom in as much as you want. Sorry.
I'm saying it was right.
I believe I was trying to say that went a bit over my head. But the idea is that these things are the most random things. Like, there's nothing you can look underneath and say, like, maybe there's a process underneath that. There's no way you can zoom in lower than it. So then, obviously, if you're serious about cryptography, you should be like, well, we should fucking use that for generating randomness, right? But like you said, like, the things that are actually that are very radioactive, so you can do this at a big scale, they're dangerous. It's like, you know, plutonium or something like that. And then I kind of fell on this rabbit hole, and I was trying to figure out these things. And then I realized that actually you can get something that's fairly radioactive and it's kind of safe from an old smoke alarm. And then I was like, oh man, if I would do this and I would use this for Bitcoin, this would be the coolest thing. Because the way I saw it, it was like, you can take the most smallest measurable process. Well, it's not the smallest, but one of the smallest measurable processes in the universe that you can measure as a human being. And they're the most enigmatic things that could happen. Like, again, you can take a look at this, you can measure it, and there's nothing you can say about it. And you can map that to a Bitcoin private key. I said, like, this would be the coolest thing that I could think of, that I could do. So that's why I did it, pretty much, right? It was to do this. And I wrote a thread about it. It's in my pinned tweet, and it explains how I did it and stuff. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Just a safety point. In smoke alarms, you have something called an alpha emitter. I wouldn't have it, like, pointed at your skin. It won't go further into your body, because alpha doesn't penetrate more than, like, a few centimeters in air or, like, through skin. But if you have an alpha emitter pointed at your skin, you might give yourself skin cancer over enough time with enough dose. So please wear gloves.
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of with extra care and stuff like that. But you know, so actually the thing is, like, all the because this is the initial question, all the devices you have, even your computer and everything, they actually have a small quantum number generator there. It doesn't use radioactive decay. It uses some kind of, like, what is it called? I don't know. It uses just some small electronic processes, the way electrons or stuff like that, when you change voltages and stuff like that, something like that. So you actually do have that in your devices, and then that is mixed up with some other stuff, and that's how you get your, when multiple sources, that's how you get the entropy for your private keys in hardware wall, and sorry, signing devices and stuff.
Very cool. We're going to switch gears. We're going to switch gears away from the science hour, and we're going to pivot, right? We're going to go over to the movie that you're working on, right? Or it's almost complete. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But it's called Do Satoshis Actually... No, wait. What is it called? Do Satoshis Actually Exist? Is that what it's called?
I can't believe you think I would ever ask a question.
I think you're deliberately tricking.
I don't ask questions.
I'm just trying to piss them off.
I would never ask a question in the title of my movie. Me asking a question. No, I'm telling you how it is, you know? No, all jokes aside.
Okay, no.
Satoshis don't exist. That's what
Satoshis don't exist. All right. Yes. Good stuff. All right. So tell us about it. I did look, I was allowed to see the teaser. Okay, you let me see the teaser, and I'm not going to lie, I am very interested. I also think, though, I also think that this may end up triggering some people. But please, tell us what you can about this, and when can people expect to be able to see this?
I mean, the whole idea for this movie started off like a while ago. I was talking with this friend of mine, right? And in a whim, he just mentions that Satoshis don't exist. And I have to say, I was kind of perplexed when I first heard this. And I said, there's no way this could
be true. I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised that you didn't know this.
I just never thought about it, right? And I was like, my instinct was, there's no way this could be true. Anyway, yes, I didn't know.
And you already knew about UTXOs?
I think it would be odd to presume I don't know how UTXOs work, right? No, I did, but like it just seemed like weird, and I have to admit, triggering, you know? So I went home and I started like looking at, you know, at bits of code and decentralized transaction stuff like that, and I was like, wow, actually this is true. I can't believe this is such a like simple and obvious thing, and I didn't really thought about this. So then I ended up telling everyone I know that, yo, Satoshis don't exist, you know? And most of the people that I know are like, you know, pretty much smart people, hardcore protocol developers. They're not like, you know, morons or something like this. And it was interesting that every time I would tell them this, they would try to prove me wrong, you know? And it got to a point where I literally told like a lot of people, and everyone was trying to prove me wrong. And I'm sitting home one day and I'm just thinking like, dude, why, when I heard this thing, even though I was perplexed, I was hoping that is true. And why is every single person that I'm telling this hoping that is wrong? I said, why is this conflict of reaction? And as soon as I said the word conflict, I said, oh, this would make a great movie. So that's why, what was the idea, just exploring this thought and this kind of also like this narrative to some degree of Satoshi's not existing. And yeah, that's kind of the movie.
Why do people need to hope for one versus the other? I mean, for me, it just seems like this is information. Once you have enough data and you understand that Satoshis don't actually exist and it's just UTXOs, why does that become controversial though, right? Like, what is it? Like, when they're trying to prove, when people are trying to prove it to you, right, that Satoshis do exist, right? What, like, I don't get it. Like, why do they need this?
Well, to be clear, it's not just the UTXO argument or something. Mm-hmm. So it's not like people are going to think there's not going to be more exploring the movie. But I just feel like I just felt this movie was also the perfect social commentary regarding the current state of the Bitcoin culture right now, which is pretty much just people. So it's just like, I just feel like when I got into this thing, the whole thing was like, you're supposed to challenge thing. Like, if you're someone who doesn't challenge people, you are not, it's not all right what you're doing. And it evolved and it became an industry, and we hope for this. And now if you're challenging anything, you're seen as a bad person. So and this just bothers me. This I kind of felt like this is kind of like
really
an itch that I have.
You think if you challenge anything, you're seen as a bad person?
I mean, this is how it looks on Twitter to me right now, doesn't it? Like,
maybe
this
you're
is
seen
what
as,
it is.
Yeah. You just, I mean, the way I explain it is I say that people get othered. Like, that's essentially what happens, right? Like, your opinion is not part of the cheerleading, happy, you know, circle jerk. So, boom, othered. It's like that. That's
wait, you mean like the Sailor Simps and the Swan DCA gang that are just like number go up hopium addicts that don't actually know anything about Bitcoin and their fiat maxis? Those people? I think that's a growing number, and I think that's only going to increase, right? As Bitcoin gets increasingly less autistic, as more and more normies come into the space, it's going to happen.
So does that automatically mean it gets less interesting, though?
I mean, you are right. That is happening. And again, there's just it's like kind of the more water you have something, the more diluted something becomes. So it's like you can't change the consequence. However, the thing is like the culture lead, like the people influence the culture, but also the culture like leads in a certain direction. And I just was saying regarding the movie, that kind of just bothers me that the culture changed in this way. And I think it's a change that is bad. So I also wanted the movie to be some kind of social commentary. I just hope people like, you know, I just think great art makes you think, and that's what keeps it alive. Now, I don't know if my movie is going to do that. That's what I'm trying to do. So that's what's kind of like what I hope would happen. People would see this and they would be like, well, why am I having this reaction, you know. But you don't know what people, how people react. So
no, you just got to put it out there.
I like the wording there. Great, great art makes you think. Do you think all these people that love the terrible art that is being put on chain right now don't do enough thinking? And do you think they've not done enough thinking?
I just think that just proves the point. That's amazing art. It's amazing because it triggers so many people and it makes so many people understand how that things work. I mean, again, it's like, I hope my movie would get the same reaction as the Ordinal things. Because here's the thing right now, a great art is not about like being like a Da Vinci painting. Yes, sorry, go on.
Question, sorry. Okay, so I even put my hand up and everything. So if Satoshis don't exist, right? We suppose this, then how the... the fuck is any of that stuff actually art, right? Like, I mean, if the Satoshis don't exist and these quote-unquote JPEGs are essentially tied to Satoshis, which don't exist through, you know, a third-party indexing database, whatever the hell that shit is, I mean, it this goes back to my original comment of that stuff being a grift. Which again, I get that it can be done. I'm just saying it's a grift.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, which is completely correct, absolutely correct what it is. But you see, the difference is like
nothing, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true. The thing is like, let me tell you how I define art. You see, if I see a painting, the art isn't the fucking painting. The art is the emotion you feel when you see the painting, all right? So like, for example, like if I write the word 12, okay? Let's just say right now, we go in, we add at a restaurant and we try to split the bill and we write the word 21. That has no meaning there. So there's no emotion when we're writing 21 about it. But now if I write that on a paper and I put a 21, I show it to you guys, you're going to think, oh, that is a Bitcoin thing. So the art is not in the painting itself or the number. It's in the context. So really there's the abstract thing that is put on some kind of medium and then you have a reaction to it. That's what art is about, all right? So that's what I'm trying to say. The art isn't in like the JPEGs or whatever. The art is in the fact that people have a strong emotional reaction, which I don't know if it's done on purpose. I don't know if it's the right one. I don't know, whatever. But that's what art is. So the fact that people comment on this and they're getting triggered, that's great art. Take a look at anyone. Take a look at Jimi Hendrix. Take a look at fucking any great artist, Picasso, even more in his later life. The reason he was a great artist, it was not because of a specific thing. It was because how people reacted to his art. So in that way, that is absolutely incredible art as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't do that art. It's not like something I'm interested in. But for my definition, everyone's talking about it and everyone has a strong reaction. So it's art. Yeah, that's how I feel about it anyway.
Hey man, you know what? I like that take because it made me think. So I appreciate it. You know, at first I was like, I don't agree with this. And I'm like, okay. It's the way I appreciate the soliciting of reaction. That is it's a valid take. So
like, do you guys know there's like that like at some point in like the semi-modern like thing, 60s, 50s, people were like, well, everything has been done in the Renaissance and now photography has been invented. So what are we going to do? And there's that guy who put that like, what is the thing called where you take a piss in the men's public bathroom? The toilet thing. Urinal. Yeah.
Oh, the urinal. Yeah.
Yeah, you know that it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, of course it's a fucking urinal.
Or the banana strapped to the wall, right?
Even a better example is just like we got to a point where like society kind of like did the Renaissance. It doesn't mean like if you make the Renaissance painting now, it's not about that anymore. That's not where the world is at right now. The world is at this absurdity level. Now, I wouldn't make the banana thing, but that's consistent with the times we live in right now. You couldn't make the banana thing in Da Vinci's time, you know? So that's why I'm trying to say it's like, well, that's what the world is. You have to make art that is somewhat relevant here, and you kind of have to like pick, you kind of have to like listen to what's going on right now in the world, and you have to comment on the world, and this is where the world is at, where the banana is valid social commentary, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
So that's how I see it.
I totally get it, and it actually makes me think of the that recent invisible painting that was sold. Literally, it's just like an empty room and there's nothing there. Like somehow, but it, to your point, right? Like it's, what emotion does that illicit. So it's kind of interesting. It's, you know, and people thought it was ridiculous. Sorry, Walton, go ahead.
That's okay. I just brought up there are new Bitcoin Renaissance artists. I want to know what Alex thinks about them. Do you like, is Bitcoin driving a new Renaissance?
Well, first of all, the thing is like, I just seeing this and I'm seeing like, wow, that's incredible craftsmanship. Yeah. Right. I'm just, that must have taken a long time, but you see, here's the thing right now. And I'm sorry to say this, and whoever sees this probably gonna think I'm a piece of shit, but like, if your art is appreciated for how you made the art, that's not great art. Like when you look at a Tarantino movie, you don't like the movie because of like what lens he chose or something like that. The movie is good. So I'm just seeing this art, this, maybe I'm misinterpreting.
Wait, but you can't appreciate the craftsmanship? That's not art?
No, I'm saying like, I said, I appreciate the craftsmanship, but that's not what art isn't about craftsmanship. Art is about the emotion. So it's kind of like, let's just say right now I'm making a movie. Let's say I make a movie about something, but I want you to like the movie because of the equipment I use. Or it's like, that shouldn't even matter. That should be so secondary back behind the craftsmanship. So if you make too much a point of your craftsmanship, you're not an artist. You're an artisan or something, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's not what art is about. Again, you have to, the way art in my heart, well, how I feel about art is like, you have an emotion, you feel something about the world. Maybe it's good, maybe it's pain, maybe it's loving, whatever. And you're trying to make someone else feel that in the same way. And that's what's important. Not how it looks, not how whatever, the emotion. And then, so you start from the emotion, you craft the emotion and use whatever tools you have. Now, I see a lot of people who kind of have a mastery of some tools. And they're like thinking, oh, how can I use these tools and make something about Bitcoin? That's not art. Not in my book anyway, you know? I'm not sure if that's the piece you just showed does that, but that's kind of what feels to me. It's like, oh, I need to, I'm good at drawing. Let me do something about Bitcoin.
I like this take. I really like this take. And the reason I like this take is because I can see this guy, and he's called Bitcoin Apex. He's a German sketch artist. I actually auctioned one of his pieces. He's talented, right? He has a very good craftsmanship. But I look at his pieces and I go, that's impressive. And I don't feel a fucking thing. And I think it's because that's not, maybe that's not what it's about. It's like he's working on his craft. But what, I don't know. I'm trying to reshare this. Like what? And there's imagery, right? Like you've got, you know, Bitcoin standing on some fiat skull, and there's elements. I don't know. There's artistic elements in here. There's points being made in certain ways.
Religious elements as well.
But like, yeah. Is it conveying the emotion? Is it making other people feel what the artist feels? Is that where it comes from? I don't know.
And you know what? Look, fair enough. Maybe we're sitting here and we're not seeing this. Maybe it's, again, art, your art shouldn't be for everyone. If everyone understands or gets your art, again, it's not art. So maybe I'm not getting it or you're not getting it. But that's what I felt. I just felt the craftsmanship over to that. Now, sometimes it's okay, like even Tarantino, sometimes, or Wes Anderson. Wes Anderson is a master of like making a deal of the craftsmanship part. But again, you can still tell he starts with an emotion. So that's kind of what I don't do the ordinal things, but when you think about it, they just did the most interesting part. They got us talking about it and they got us feeling an emotion, which is more than anyone that calls themselves their Bitcoin artist does. Like, again, most of the people, I shouldn't say this, but most of the people who call themselves Bitcoin artists, they just want to make a point of, look how hard I worked at this. I was like, dude, that's not a point. The point should be like, wow, look at the emotion that I put there. Oh, how did you do this? Oh, it ended up taking 100 hours. You know, like if you're making so much a point of it, I have the best way to describe this. If you talk about your art, if your art talks, you can only talk over it. So that's how I feel about this thing. It's like you're not letting the art do it, the talking, if you're figuring too much about the craftsmanship, you know? That's my take on it anyway.
No, I really appreciate that. And I think you hit the nail on the head, because I think back to the pieces that I have purchased and the quote unquote art that I have accumulated. And it's true. All of it was purchased because of the emotion that it solicited, what I felt. And that's what drew me to it. So, yeah, man, I really appreciate that. So look, unfortunately, we got to wrap up the fireside chat and move on to Wrecked. But okay, so before we do, the movie is called Satoshis Don't Exist. When Can anyone expect it to be released? And if anybody has any questions or whatnot, how do they find you? Where do they contact
you? Well, you should check out the movie Assets Don't Exist. Updates are going to be... You should check out the movies on Set Don't Exist. You can find updates there. Also, on setsdon'texist.com, there's a link that sends you to the Gazer page, which you can find more information there. You can also follow me on Twitter, obviously. Hopefully, the movie's going to come out in the summer, hopefully, cool. If everything goes well. I don't know. I guess that's all for now because, like, there's no trailer release. There's nothing. There's a lot of, like, hush-hush stuff going on. So, yeah.
I'm excited to see the finished product. Guys, all of that information is going to be in the show notes. That wraps up the Fireside Chat, and we are going to move it on over to Wrecked. Don't forget to check out the Bitcoin Rollo Triangle at CypherSafe.io. Beautiful craftsmanship, 16 ounces of solid titanium. Pet rock for the pet rock enjoyers. Check it out, cyphersafe.io. Beautiful craftsmanship, awesome product, Bitcoin Rollo Triangle. Welcome back to Wrecked, everyone. That's right. It is going to be just a disgusting week of Wrecked. This should be no surprise to anyone. No surprise to anyone. For the people who are on Bitcoin Twitter, you know that the Cardones, or specifically Gary Cardone, has been enamored with Bitcoin, has been talking about Bitcoin, has, been making some cringy videos about it and everything. And totally not surprised. Here we go. Gary Cardone learning about Cardano. Good job. So it's always the typical thing, right? They come into the space, right? These people, they come in, they build up their little audience, and then they find people to grift with absolute nonsense. Gary Cardone wrecked. Bitcoiners who platformed this person, not a good look. I know the clicks and views seem like it's worth it, but when all you really have is your reputation and people start to know that you're platforming shitcoiners and just grifters, not a good look. Anyways, moving on.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Oh yeah,
this
sure,
guy, I mean,
sure.
I mean, I feel like he's like, hey, there's a crypto, and it, like the name's kind of the same. It's like Cardano. Like it's basically the same. But like, I got so pissed off when I found out there's something called Walton Chain. I'm like, the fuck? Yep. Who? And this is, I think it's before. It might even be before my time.
It's from,
like,
2017, 2018. Walton
and it's
Chain.
Like,
I remember
like
it,
when,
by the way.
I remember like when was it? It was like some
pumped hard.
There was some shit. There was some. What is it? Oh, that was it. Omicron was like some like later variant of COVID, and before that even came out, there was already an Omicron like shitcoin or something. Like it's funny how fast these things iterate. But don't invite really stupid people on your show is how I'd look at it. Like the Cardones sound like some sort of like. It sounds like the Cardone crime family. They sound like some New York mafia. I don't know. And of course, they're involved in real estate, like the mafia. But like you, I don't know. You hear these guys speak. It's embarrassing. Like how retarded some of these guys are. To be honest, like I don't know why they get invited. Is it just numbers game?
It's numbers and eyeballs, dude. It's really really. Anyways, it's really sad. And of course, right. The argument is always that you're growing your platform and blah blah blah. Why else do I do this? But so for whatever reason, somehow ethics just get thrown out the window because once you get the numbers, that's it. I got the numbers, you know. Anyways, Alex, any thoughts on this before we move on to the next shit show? Next story?
I know what the fuck this is. I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Exactly.
I've never heard
he's
of this
just
guy.
A real
I
estate really grifter. Know. Yeah, it's this
but
guy
wait,
that...
What happened? Who had him on the show, or what happened exactly?
He's been on a lot of the kind of big, bigger shows that have, a lot of macro kind of focus type people on.
People hosting spaces with big followings and stuff like that. You know, they'll go and they'll co-host his space. So that lends validity, right? That kind of that, you know how it goes, right? Lending credibility to other people. It's becomes a bit of a slippery slope, but either way, it's just this guy, the whole point of that, of me showing that was just to say, actual Bitcoiners are not surprised that this guy is going to be shitcoining and shilling whatever he can. So yeah, that's
maybe,
right.
Maybe
Wrecked.
Maybe he's doing art actually. Maybe this is art.
Maybe this is. Maybe it is art. It's soliciting an emotional response. So, okay,
puts
fair
the
enough.
Art in con artist.
They always leave it to Walton to come up with the wordplay. Moving on. Everybody knows about Roger Ver is back. I mean, not that he ever really left, but thanks to Vlad for platforming him again for Bitcoiners. That was great. So the noobs can now, if they weren't confused before, now they can be confused. But either way, I'm not going to blame Vlad because Roger is his own implosion. So here we go. This is a tweet from Arthur Van Pelt. Roger Ver's co-writer of Hijacking Bitcoin is Steve Patterson. Look where he comes from. And yep, absolutely. Hat tip. XBT babe. February 28th, 2020. Retweet. And there you go. BSV is on the edge of crushing everything. So this guy went from being obviously a very angry coping BSV bag holder to now being the guy who co-published the crying account of Roger Ver about how he was a victim during the block size war. So, but we did a clip on this and I already explained and showed how he was actually on the side of the corporations. He was backed by the corporations and the biggest players in this space. Okay. So this idea that he was a victim was complete nonsense. And of course, in typical narcissistic fashion, here we go. This is a thank you very much for tweeting this. Privacy matters. Doesn't get any more cypherpunk and libertarian than threatening others with state violence. That's right. Roger Ver, is it time to leverage legal action against Adam Back for his relentless libel? Accusing me of using sock puppets. Clearly, he fears the revelations in my new book and wants to prevent people from discovering how he and his company hijacked Bitcoin. So, okay, before we move to the next stupid thing, you're not going to sit there and convince me, okay, that a company like Blockstream hijacked an entire industry, okay? Hijacked a whole bunch of independent nodes, hijacked a whole bunch of independent players all over the world, okay? This was the market that spoke, and they fucking lost, okay? They, ironically, and this is where I get that I believe that Roger is a complete narcissistic sociopath, because he was painting himself as a victor until he lost, and he's now been a crying victim for the last 6 years. That's what narcissists do. This is what they do because they're never wrong. They're always right. You are just a bully. But yeah, I think that this is just absolute bullshit. I find it kind of strange and convenient that he just shows up right after the Craig Wright the verdict and everything, and obviously BSV, which was already a shit chain and dying, just becomes completely more irrelevant. So it's like, does it almost feel like these fucking people are being propped up at a specific time, or is this just the mechanics of the market, right, where they just see their opportunity and he's like, that's it, this is my time to pounce?
I think we should always leave room, like if someone comes out and says, I was wrong, but I don't mean says, I mean very specifically articulates, this is what I think was wrong, this is what I misunderstood, and that's fine. However, I saw a lot of people just making fake I was wrongs and fakes whatever and stuff like that. And yeah, the BSV thing was kind of like, I mean, dude, everyone knows that was a fucking piece of shit, all right? And that guy was doing like horrible thing and terrorizing people. Anyone who was associated with BSV, as far as I'm concerned, is like they were complicit. So yeah. I don't really understand why anyone is even listening to these people or why they're getting, and specifically to Roger Ver, it's kind of like, I mean, his thing was always to lie. Like he lied about everything. He all like, do you guys remember when he said that empty gox is
solvent?
Solvent.
That's those days before.
I mean, again, and I'm not trying to like also don't want to downplay that he did do some good things. He was Bitcoin Jesus. He was the only person for a long time, dude, who was putting serious money. It was his own money. Let's give him what's his.
This is true.
And he has the right, his heart was in the right place at some point. But when I see those, again, like when we're doing things with people with BSV, and I just feel like he thought that the BSV thing might play out. And then he pulled out. And then now last time when the thing settled, he's trying to be like, oh, Mr. Right. And I was like, dude, no, fuck you. Don't, you know.
Oh, Mr. Right. I like that unintended pun there. So
yeah, totally.
Oh, Dr. Right.
Walton, any thoughts before we move to the next chit show?
I'm torn here. I'm like, should I give more attention to these people that are wanting attention? I do think shitcoin is good at marketing, because they have to be, right? This is a game theory thing. If you don't have a product that has real substance, you've got to be really fucking good at marketing it. If you release a book about your side of a story years after it happened, when there's a whole bunch of people that didn't go through that, didn't live through it, you've got a potential audience that you can trick. So I do think there's some, it's clearly very well timed, this book release. I don't know. Like, I find it crazy how there's all these people that had, I don't know, six figure Bitcoin stacks, right? Like over 100,000 Bitcoin. I think he's one of them, right? Like the Winklevoss twins I think it's ironically, right? We're on with Coin Icarus, right? They had hubris, right? They thought they were so right. And their arrogance, their hubris got to them, and their wings melted, right? And the fall from near the sun's quite a long way.
You know what? I've never really I heard Kubrick say this. By the way, it's not an original thought, but Kubrick said this thing. Like, I never really understood if the Icarus story was about flying too close to the sun, or just if you do go to the sun, fucking build good wings. Don't go with wax wings. I don't know if that was actually the problem.
Wait, that's not why Waxwing is called Waxwing, is it?
No, that's unrelated. I don't know.
Because that would be fucking weird. That would be a weird little...
No, this is a Kubrick. Kubrick made this reference when he made an acceptance speech. So I don't know, like, what actually... I don't know if hubris is bad. I don't think hubris is bad. I think if you want to change the world, they have to have hubris. There's no way you can change the world without copious amounts of hubris, you know? So
interesting.
I mean, think about like this. Think about Satoshi. Like, when he put up the paper and whatever, he had to have some hubris in his head to think like this thing that everyone thinks doesn't make sense and whatever will actually work. And then, you know, like, again, like, I feel like the more the risk Bitcoin is, the less hubris you have to get into it. But the earlier you have to get into it, you need a hubris, because everyone will tell you're crazy, you know? So I don't think hubris is bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think to your point, right? Like, everything is kind of a degree of scales, right? Like, you know, if there's too much humility, you become meek, right? So if there's not enough humility, then there's like an influx of hubris. And if there's too much hubris, then you just become completely pigheaded and you're essentially destined to fail. So I think it's about knowing ourselves and being able to balance, you know, being able to balance this within ourselves. So I actually can agree with that point about the hubris.
I don't think it's about the quantity of hubris. Mm-hmm. I think it's where you direct it towards. I think you should have the most hubris you could have, but you have to know that in your heart of hearts, you're pursuing something truthful. Because if you're pursuing something truthful, it doesn't matter that the hubris is low or whatever. So I think that's always the
thing. Some wisdom. I like it.
Just to read from a dictionary, because I think you guys are wrong here. Alex is wrong. Hubris is defined as excessive pride or self-confidence. Yeah. And so to me, I think pride and self-confidence are a good thing, and you have to have a lot of it, but if you're wrong, then it's excessive, and this is a case of it. He was wrong, and so therefore his confidence and his self-confidence and his pride were excessive.
Well, I don't think they were excessive. I think he knew he was. That's what I'm trying to say. His heart was in the wrong place. You could tell Roger knew what he was saying is incorrect. Like, at some point, around 2016, you could tell before he believed in it, but then you could tell he's like, I know what I'm saying is wrong here. I know what I'm saying is incorrect. I know I'm attached to this argument. I can't let it go. So that's what I think the problem was. You could also find other people who are also very much believing what they're doing. Like, for example, well, what about the people who like were up for SegWit? You can say they had the same amount of hubris. They just happened to be honest about it. Anyway.
Well, these are good points, and it's definitely a good discussion. And on that,
it comes from the Greek. Apparently, the word hubris comes from the Greek, which means excessive pride towards or defiance of the gods, leading to nemesis. It seems to kind of work with the wax wings melting story. It
kind of does. Kind of does. All right. A little more fun here. So here we go. Tweet from David Marcus, right? For the people who don't know, CEO of Lightspark, right? If I'm not mistaken, Coinbase recently just announced that they're going to be working with them to implement Lightning, because for some reason none of the shitcoin devs at Coinbase can implement Lightning, so they have to hire this third party and make it an announcement so that everybody sits there and goes, wow, Brian, you're really helping Bitcoin. Yeah, I'm sorry, but everything here, this is his take. Everything that can be tokenized will be tokenized. Not only stocks, funds, and the long list of financial assets and instruments, but also the title to your car, home, everything you own, your identity as well. And David Marcus comes from PayPal, Meta. What a surprise, guys. What a surprise. Yeah, so the idea of tokenizing the title for your car and all that stuff, like, this is all just fucking nonsense. I mean, the reality of the matter is that there's no true attachment to the real world asset. It all has to be enforced through the state or through a corporation of some type. It's just garbage. It's no surprise that these people want to tokenize everything, though. It's no surprise, right? Because it's going to equal a whole bunch of economic activity, which, of course, benefits them. What were you going to say, Walton?
I actually think there's a what's the word? I think you can have like an honorable way of believing this. I got into Bitcoin in 2018, and I remember in 2018 or 2019, before I became on Bitcoin Twitter, discussing with a friend who's a Bitcoiner. I remember having the idea of maybe it'd be good if you could have it's funny now, credentials. On chain, right? The idea that, like, I don't know, if you want to apply for a job, that then the company can check the credentials rather than having to like trust some university or whatever it was and check. You see what I mean? Like, but then you learn, or you don't, about the Oracle problem. Mm-hmm. And the Oracle problem essentially is such that if you want to record something, you have to trust the person recording it. If you want to link something from outside of the time chain, the blockchain, then you need to have a trusted oracle. And there's no such thing. But it does take, I think, a little bit to understand this concept. And people say, has Bitcoin solved the Oracle problem? Some people like to say that it's found a probabilistic approximation to solving it. Mm. Bitcoin essentially, a blockchain, only secures and verifies endogenous information. That's information that's already within it. And if you don't understand the Oracle problem, then you try to use a blockchain to secure and verify exogenous information. I don't think it's necessarily, oh, you want a shitcoin? I think you can be excited about the kind of verifiable nature of Bitcoin and want to extend that to other things, but I think it's a naivety.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much, or one way to say it is, like, the cost of evaluating reality trustlessly is infinite, right? That's really what it is about. Because like you were saying, the way we outsource information in the blockchain is via the miners, but that's not information. Like, it's only entropy, like the nonsense. That's the only external information and timestamps. So yeah, it's kind of hard to do that. But I mean, and also it's like, the problem isn't like verify. Like, once you have information somewhere and you accept this is good information, the problem isn't like signing it and authenticating it. The problem is, like, how do you know that information in the first place was there, you know? So yeah.
I just think, look, these guys, they're just salivating. They see that they can essentially create money out of nothing. I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying, like, yep, that's what it is. They can create a whole bunch of money out of nothing, and here they go. So anyways, moving on. Final story for Rex, guys. In case you didn't hear about it, you most likely did, hacker doxes nearly every adult in El Salvador. So very interesting, right? Like really interesting stuff. So we've got, even though it's not related, right? We've got the FBI that subpoenaed a whole bunch of information from Bitcoin conference in Atlanta from 2022, from the devs that were there because of Luke's lack of security and his supposed hack. And again, unrelated, but weird, right?
Maybe just, Luke's a fed. Maybe Luke's a fed, and the whole point of his boating accident was to dox everyone.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But either way, then we got this weirdness, right? Hacker doxes nearly every adult in El Salvador, right? So disturbingly detailed information, including full names, birthdays, phone numbers, residential addresses, email addresses, and social security number equivalent DUI numbers, has been stolen and made accessible via dark web markets. So the breach affects the vast majority of Salvadoran adults. And there was approximately 6.6 million. There's approximately 6.6 million Salvadorians. So that's pretty crazy that 5 million of those records were leaked.
And I have a question. Wait. Yeah. The most important thing, like, where did this leak? Like, of course, it's.
Oh, they just said darknet torrents.
Yeah, but it's also like, but
I heard it was Chivo wallet. I heard it was Chivo wallet, but I haven't verified that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find out where it came from.
Well, if but it's Chivo, then again, it's like the question still is like, where they had the best. So first of all, the hacker shouldn't hack things. That's illegal and bad and immoral. But then and the second part, do we know they had the best securities practices? Maybe they're at fault also for this. That's what
that's
I would want.
Right.
To know.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. There's really not much yet on the story. So unfortunately, all we have is this. What we do know, though, is that it's about 144 gigs of data. And I think what was it? It's kind of weird. So it's been available for download for a $250 fee since August, but the threat actor who possessed the information claimed that the victims failed to pay his ransom demand. And as a punishment, the hacker released the data for free. So I don't... Anyways, it really seems to me, it just seems weird. And again, obviously it creates one of those scenarios where it's like, hey, you got to be careful about everything, right? Be careful traveling to Bitcoin country, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, your information is leaked. It's just, I don't know. I don't like it.
I mean, if you travel to any country, you're probably doxing your, you know.
Oh yeah, of course.
All your information to immigration anyway.
You know, supposedly when
but
you
yeah,
go through
yeah, it's interesting
those...
that happens just after the meme factory halving party. It's almost it's almost as if the meme factory are just all a bunch of spooks and they're trying to get you know, wreck all the Bitcoin.
Look, we have heard stories about what was it? Sean stole Yellow's speaker. So that's some pretty spook behavior right there. Who knows?
I mean, if they're not spooks, then they might be puppets. Who knows?
Oh God. Okay. Anyways,
I'm not sure if this is being memed right now or you guys are serious.
Oh yeah, no, it's dude, we're just
it's real or not.
It's just ridiculous conversation.
That's the world we live in right now. Like increasingly I'm like, wait, is that real? Is it not real? It could be real. I don't know.
We don't know. It's clown world. It's total clown world. Guys, let us know what you think. Put it in the comments. That does it for Wrecked. And we are gonna move it on over to the Hopium.
Up next, we have Hopium sponsored by Proof of Ink. As I was quote tweeted this week, Proof of Ink are a Bitcoin apparel phenomena. And they are producing a whole bunch of cool collaborations, including some merch that you will be able to get very, very soon. You can get the Pleb Underground t-shirt, the Taco Pleb hoodie, and many, many more items, as well as a range of other items that they do in collaboration with other groups. And if you go over to proofofink.com and you use the code PLEB, you can get a 5.8% discount on all of their goodies. Once again, use the code PLEB for 5.8% off at proofofink.com. Welcome back to Hopium. Two stories for you this week. The first, finally, after almost 5 years, the case in Norway against Hodlnort the fraudulent case from Craig Wright has finally been dropped. And so this case was won in like 2 years ago, but the appeal was dropped, right? And so for many years, Hodlenor was fighting for the truth and being hounded for it. I think it's a good story. And why is it hoping? Is this about Hodlenor? Not really. Like the reason why I'm sharing this story is because this is hopeful for Bitcoin developers. It's hopeful for truth speakers. It's hopeful for Bitcoin. I think last week, a couple of weeks ago, I shared that Vladimir van der Laan, who's the number one Bitcoin core contributor, was returning. I think increasingly we're going to have devs who kind of stepped away, I think because they were scared of, not scared, I don't know what the right word is, but like they were being self-protective against the fiat legal world and these attacks that could come from the BSV camp. And so I think this is a very hopeful story. Jens, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, particularly, right, this is just another nail in the proverbial coffin. I wouldn't be surprised if possibly. I know that Hodlenor is also hoping this too, right? That there's a good possibility that maybe that trial doesn't end up going through in the UK. There is that possibility. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
he's still
see.
I mean, drop that.
Yeah, it's possible that he drops that, you know. But look, so far I can say that I'm talking about Craig Wright. I think he's somewhat unpredictable. And I think that sometimes ego plays like a big role for people. And he may just, you know what, he may just want to waste everybody's time in the UK and just make that thing go through, you know, like just make Hodlenor go through that trial all over again in the UK. Who knows? But I'll say this, if that happens, it's just going to be that much more information that we get to accumulate and use to prove that, number one, he's not Satoshi, and number two, BSV is not Bitcoin. So, anyways, Alex, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I just think, again, there's very few people who I'd consider generally despicable, and this guy is really one of them. I mean, you know, generally who's trying to do evil, at least with Roger, you could go like, well, at least he had some good motives and things happen along the way and he got him emotionally attached and whatever. Now this guy from this day zero was just a piece of shit and was terrorizing people. Yep. But I actually don't think I don't think he's going to try to pursue anything, because from what I've known right now, COPPA, or what I've read, they're trying to like also take action against him.
Yes.
Right? So I just doubt. And they also like freeze. There was an order for freezing 6 million
assets.
Yeah, so I just don't think he has resources right now. I would say maybe it's an early victory. Maybe it's too early to call it a victory, but I think it's kind of done. It's just crazy that it got to this point that this fucking guy, you know, it's like, I don't even know if he was stupid or had the balls to like be like, oh, there's this loophole of no one knowing who Satoshi is. Let me see how I can exploit this. Mm. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. And it was obvious from day one, those people had bad intentions and they're trying to exploit this. And then they just started attacking people who had really no business in dealing with these things. You know, it's just an awful human being. So, you know, I just hope, I hope all the worst things in the world, you know, and it's not even that. I just hope, like, you know, he just gets what he deserves, because he should pay for all the harm he has caused, you know, to a lot of people, really a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So to Craig, COPPA harder, bitch.
Do you know what the crazy thing is when that news came out that his assets were being seized? Some of the BSV supporters said, well, that's it, Bitcoin's dead, because now they're gonna have to, because again, right, they don't understand that this is a fraud and he is not Satoshi and this is not Bitcoin and he has no claim to anything. So they some of these people spun the narrative that somehow the government is going to freeze the entire, not BSV, the Bitcoin blockchain. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? These people are crazy. I genuinely feel bad because, like, to believe that kind of absolute nonsense, I don't know, man. Like, I've believed some stupid shit in my life, and when I figure out that it's wrong, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? You know? Like, I'm happy to learn better. I'm happy to be like, you know what? I was stupid, and I was following what I thought was an incentive, and really, I was just being a greedy loser that was trying to get way more than I deserve for a lot less work, and I was wrong, and it blew up, because what I was following was just incorrect and crappy. I don't know. I feel like it's empowering to learn. Is it not?
Yeah, it is. But I think specifically with the BSV thing, I just think there's probably, I don't think there's that many people who generally believe in it. Because you know what I've noticed? Like, if you look at it at the tweets and whatever, there really isn't that much engagement. And most of the engagement comes from people trying to prove them wrong. Really, it's Bitcoin people. So I just think this was kind of like a scam from the beginning. And they have like people who are on it obviously. And there's, even when you look at Calvin's tweets and stuff, there's like 10, there's 100 retweets or something like that. There's not a big numbers. So I don't think there's anyone who believes this. I think they were just trying to find this way, and their grift was trying to do the patent trolling and all this stuff. And I think they try to find an angle and it didn't work out. I have a very hard time thinking that there's 1,000 people who genuinely like fell for this. That's my opinion on it. And I, because like you said, I just don't see how anyone could not want to learn and be so ignorant, you know?
Yeah.
I see Calvin fell for it, and Calvin had some money to spend, right? So then he, you know, he can pay for like our boy Hector, right? Who you know Hector, right? There's some BSV guy used to be on like Clubhouse and then Twitter, and he, I don't know, he's like, I can't believe this guy. I'm sure this guy is like on the payroll somehow. And it'd be interesting if one day like the BSV influencer payroll comes out. Does anyone actually believe it, or are they just all on the payroll?
That's my suspicion. My suspicion.
That's how I
just don't see how it could be out of
if you con a billionaire and get him invested in your scam.
That's called venture capitalism, by the way. That's literally what you do as a VC. You have to scam someone into your thing. Hopefully, the difference is that sometimes it works out there.
So hold on. So now I think we just figured out what the real grift was. The real grift was getting Calvin's money all along.
Yep.
But getting it to who? Because they got paid to lawyers.
Yeah, I know. Like
that, right?
It's all work.
That's like to who?
I don't know. But he did. So hold on. Calvin did offset his. I don't know how. Like maybe offset's a bad word, but essentially he entrusted. I think it was Turkey Chop or CAH Edgar Hansen, whatever his name is. He essentially entrusted them to understand whether Craig was, actually the creator, the inventor of Bitcoin. So he obviously wasn't able to figure it out for himself. So he got these guys to, I mean, come on. Are you kidding
me? There's no way. Dude, listen, there's absolutely no way. You have to be really willingly trying to convince yourself. Like the level of sophistication he had was non-existent. Like even to any question someone would ask, you would give this incredibly obviously like evasive answer, right? So there's no way anyone believed this. There's just absolutely no way. And again, it's been ruled already now officially. So there's no, and it's kind of weird how like, this is what I found the most interesting thing is like, so you're telling me you believe this guy was Satoshi along. But all of a sudden, when the court ruled out, everyone changed their mind and apologies videos. And it's like, no, that proves even more you are fake. You know what I'm trying to say to the people who are like, I really honestly think like the whole attention is like just people like us talking right now about it. I think that's where the attention was coming from. And again, that was their whole thing, I guess. So
I think it's also about exploiting systems that have bad incentives. Like the legal system in the UK works very, very well at getting British lawyers paid. We'll go for a while. You want to pay the lawyers? You want to keep the case going? Fine, that's fine. Yeah, you want to talk about it? Fine. You know, lawyers. The legal system gets the lawyers paid. I still think it's weird how Bitcoin, like BSV people, think that somehow, like the legal system and code somehow like have sort of equal, what's the word, power in kind of deciding ownership of the, like, it's weird. It's a very, very weird take that they have. But I think we need to move on to the final story.
Yeah.
The final story for this week. Next week. Well, actually, this episode comes out on Monday the 15th. So actually, later this week, is the London Bitcoin halving party. Unlike those meme factory scammers, it's actually going to be on the day of the halving. It's going to be in London.
Walton, they're
our friends. Docs. I know, fuck them, though. Like, they're good, but no. They're welcome, but, you know. All right, so we won't be serving any Becca sandwiches here, but it will be a good party. It's going to be on 420. That's Saturday, 20th of April, from 6 p.m. Dockside Vaults in London. We have a good Bitcoin community in London and across the UK, and I think it's really growing. This is going to be the first halving I spend with Bitcoiners, and a team of us in London have put together, I think, what's going to be a really good event. Some highlights: we have educational workshops, we have an art gallery. Whether it's art, you can judge for yourself. And we have a celebratory party. We also have like an auction. There's prizes. There's a raffle. I'm just going to talk through a couple of things that will be going on later this week. So if you want to know more, LDNBHP, that's London Bitcoin Halving Party on Twitter. If you want to find the details, for a ticket for you and your plus one is only £21. So it's pretty good, right? £21, two people. I said we encourage the Bitcoiners to bring their beautiful partners. You should bring your other half.
Like what you did there.
Yeah. But I want to talk about a little bit about some of the events that will be happening. So from 6 till 8 p.m., essentially, there are a number of like workshops and other activities. So we have a seed signer workshop. So if you want to come and learn how to build your own seed signer, you can do that. If you want to come and learn about Meshtastic, which is a radio device. So if you're concerned about the internet going down and you still want to make your own Bitcoin transactions, come along to the Meshtastic workshop and Q&A to understand how radios can be used to send encrypted text messages. We also have the charity art auction, where some of the proceeds will be going to a number of charitable projects. My First Bitcoin UK, which is like me Premier Bitcoin, but there's a UK version of it. Bitcoin of Palestine, which is essentially feeding children in Palestine right now, and a number of open source projects like Sparrow and Seed Steiner. Just briefly, some of the pieces of art that will be for sale. Here's a Maddox piece, and a few other pieces that are for sale.
Oh, interesting.
I think this one might be a Bitcoin Apex, but I'm not sure. But there will be I think maybe about 20 pieces of art in the gallery and later available to bid on for the auction. We also have a quiz corner that are sponsored by BitRefill. You'll be able to win some BitRefill vouchers by proving you know stuff about Bitcoin. This is the London Bitcoin Halving Party at LDNBHP on Twitter. You can get your tickets in the SAT over Lightning. Just £21 per ticket for two people.
Very cool, Walton. Very, very cool. Guys, that wraps up this week's episode of Pleb Underground. But before we go, Alex, one last time, where can people get more information about the movie and where can they contact you?
Yeah, so first of all, just hit me up on raw_avocado on Twitter. As @sets don't exist, the Twitter for the movie. And yeah, also, I mean, if I could do a plug also, I am looking for someone to help out with the marketing for the movie. I put up a absolutely crazy, generous advertisement for someone who should help with writing of the threads. You can check it out on Plebwork. But if you check on Twitter, you're going to see there. And I really am saying serious. It's really a big chunk of change, but it's hard work, you know. So look, if you are looking to do the hardest thing you ever did in your life, come and help me do the marketing for the movie. I promise there's going to be some hardcore fucking shit.
Bitcoin marketers, you are out there. Here is your opportunity to shine with Alex. Guys, that wraps up the show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, help us grow the channel. Don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream us sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You can stream us sats through Breeze. Walton, how do we end this?
Fuckshitcoins.com. Please like and subscribe. We will see you next week.
Peace. More toxic than the most toxic Bitcoin maxi ever. They said he's more toxic. More toxic than the most.